Great, thank you. Good morning, everybody. I'm Robert Lucero. I'm serving as Development Hearing Officer today. I'm calling to order the March 27th, 2024 hearing of the Development Hearing Officer at 9:02 a.m. This is a remote or online hearing where all participants will be on a video or audio conference. We are conducting this hearing remotely so that everyone can participate. Please keep your audio on mute and your video off when you are not involved in the case being heard. Please note that we are recording the audio of this hearing. Because it's audio only, it's very important that you give your name each time before you begin your remarks. We will use the chat capability of Zoom to let you know which agenda item we are on. Please watch for that feed. The chat will also let you ask a question of the moderators, which are Jay Rodenbeck and Robert Webb. We want to inform you that all chat conversations are part of the record and subject to the Inspection of Public Records Act. Please keep your chat comments relevant to the hearing. I would like to introduce the Development Facilitation Team staff and swear them in. I'll begin with Jolene Wolfley, Jay Rodenbeck, Robert Webb, and Shahab Biazar. Are you all here? Thank you. Please
Yes.
raise your right hand. And do you affirm under penalty of perjury that your testimony today will be true?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Thank you. Next, I'd like to introduce David Gutierrez from the Water Authority. Instead of Jeff Palmer, I believe we have Jacob Boylan, is that correct?
Yes, that was correct.
Thank you. And Tiquan Chen from Hydrology, Ernest Armijo from Transportation. Please raise your right hand. And do you affirm under penalty of perjury that your testimony today will be true?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Also from planning staff, I believe it's Marcelo Ibarra. And
Yes.
Anyone else? Am I missing anyone else that I haven't mentioned from DFT?
I need to be sworn in to you, Mr. Hearing Officer.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Alec, Hannah Alec from the planning department as well. Please raise your right hands and do you affirm under penalty of perjury that your testimony today will be true?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. Is there anyone else from any of the DFT staff agencies that needs to be sworn in? All right. Not seeing anyone. I'd like to thank all the DFT staff. Just a note for the applicants before we proceed. Any plats that are approved today will be electronically signed following the hearing. Mr. Jay Rodenbeck will then route those documents through the DFT members once the applicant has submitted a final PDF that includes all of their utility signatures. Then the applicants will receive an emailed copy of the signed document. If you are approved with conditions, those conditions will need to be satisfied with the appropriate DFT member or members, and then send the PDFs, finalized PDFs, to Mr. Rodenbeck to get the electronic signatures. The city engineer is the final person to sign a plat. Ms. Angela Gomez is our hearing monitor. Ms. Gomez, would you please alert us to any changes in today's agenda?
Yes, for item number 8, PR 2019-002874, application SD 2024-00024, preliminary and final plat. The agent requests deferral to April 10th. And then for item number 9, the deferral request for April 27th was listed on the agenda prior to posting.
Oh, thank you. So then as to agenda item 9, we don't need to take action, but for 8, I would need to defer it. Is that correct, Ms. Wolfley?
I apologize, I wasn't listening.
Oh, no problem. I was just saying, since the deferral of item number 9 was already listed, I don't need to take any action on that. Is that right?
No, if it was listed on the agenda, is that true, Ms. Gomez? Okay, yes, you only need to take action on items that were not listed on the agenda.
Thank you. Thank you. In that case, having received via Ms. Gomez the request by the applicant to defer agenda item number 8, let me just make sure I have the correct case numbers up. Bear with me 1 second. So I hereby vote to defer agenda item number 8, that's PR 2019-002874, SD 2024-00024. It's a preliminary final plat, sketch plat, submitted by WH Pacific Inc. and NV5 Company, agent for Eagle Vista LLC. And that will be deferred to the April 10th DHO meeting beginning at 9 a.m. All right. Any other changes to the agenda?
That's all I have this morning, Mr. Hearing Officer.
Thank you, Ms. Gomez. In that case, now that we have the agenda set for today, we please ask any members of the public who would like to speak on a particular item to let us know that they wish to speak when that agenda item is called. And then when we get to the time for public comment, if you're on Zoom, please use the raise your hand feature, which you can find at the on the bottom toolbar. I think it's under the reactions tab in order to raise your hand. If you're on video, you can just literally raise your hand like I'm doing right now as an option. And if you're on audio only, if you're calling in by phone, please press *9 in order to raise your hand. If there are any technical issues that disrupt the ability to conduct the hearing, I will end the hearing, and then the DHO hearing will resume at 1 p.m. using the same Zoom link and phone number that we're currently on. As we begin, I'll read a statement regarding the purpose of the development hearing officer as follows. The DHO was created in 2022 by amendment to the Integrated Development Ordinance, IDO. The DHO and DFT staff members apply the standards and requirements in the IDO and in the development process manual. Very good. Well, with those preliminary matters now attended to, we'll commence with agenda item 1. Agenda item 1 is PR 2024-009995. That's VA 2024-00036. It's a request for a waiver submitted by Public Service Company of New Mexico. And the property is located on the west side of University Boulevard between Clark Carr Road Southeast and the southern city limits. Again, it's a request for a waiver, and this is a waiver to the underground requirement of new electric distribution feeders. Is there a member of the applicant team here who will be presenting?
Yes, Ken Maestas, PNM, and I'm also joined by Russell Brito, PNM.
Thank you, Mr. Maestas and Mr. Brito. If you'd both please raise your right hand, and do you affirm under penalty of perjury that your testimony today will be true?
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Thank you both. Go ahead, if you please present the project.
Well, good morning. Ken Maestas, Public Service Company of New Mexico, 2401 Aztec Road Northeast. And thank you, hearing officer, for the opportunity to respond to your request regarding what significant public purpose would be served by underground versus overhead installation of the PNM system improvement on University Boulevard. But before I get started, I want to thank the staff for their guidance and their support and assistance in this application for waiver process. And in the past 2 weeks, we've met with Sunport staff and provided them with the approval, I think it's Form 7460 from the FAA regarding the proposed distribution line on the west side of University Boulevard. So that documentation was sent to them per their request, And the conversation went really well considering or regarding economic development, which they were interested in regarding their properties and other properties along this area and in the Southeast Quadrant in general. So we were able to obtain from the city as-built cross sections of University Boulevard. That has been submitted for the record. I can share it, but it's, oh, there it is. Thank you. So as you can see, and if I miss something here, this is not what I do every day. So as you can see, there's sanitary sewer. There's a 12-inch water use on the left side of University Boulevard, but also on the east side, there's a 24-inch water main and a storm drain size. I think it varies, 24-inch minimum. So University Boulevard, look, from this cross section, looks like it's has infrastructure on both sides of the road, east and west side, north and southbound. But this exhibit will help us as we coordinate, as we mentioned in testimony before, but part of our construction, pre-construction, and before final design, we coordinate with the water authority, the municipal development, parks and rec, and any other franchisee that might be impacted by this proposed overhead construction. And with that, I'm going to pass this over to Russell Brito to talk about the more specifically about significant public purpose. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Maestas.
Good morning, Mr. Hearing Officer. This is Russell Brito from PNM, and want to continue our presentation to you about your direction about providing information about what significant public purposes may or may not be served by the underground installation of this distribution feeder. There may be some, but we are going to focus on what significant public purposes would be served by overhead installation of this distribution feeder. There's no definition of what a significant public purpose is in the IDO. But looking at the IDO's intent is to implement the vision, goals, and policies of the comprehensive plan. So we're using those as kind of the basis of explaining our perspective of what significant public purposes would be served by overhead installation. And they include furthering and helping us get closer to the goals contained in the economic development and resilience and sustainability chapters of the comprehensive plan. Of course, as many economic developers know, we have to be competitive with other cities, other regions around the country to attract private sector investment, large employers. And part of that is making sure we have adequate utility infrastructure, water, sewer, gas, and oftentimes, most importantly, for high tech and manufacturing businesses, they want adequate capacity for electricity. And what we're asking for in this waiver is the ability to not only exercise our existing right and authority to be in the city's public right of way per the franchise agreement, but also to do this in an quick and expedited manner to help with economic development, marketing, and efforts throughout the southeast quadrant of the city and metro area. So, in general, the points we've come up with and that we've sent the staff to put in the record are generally we want to help the city, the county, and any other jurisdiction in the southeast quadrant market the availability of adequate and reliable electric service. We want to minimize the time to begin construction by avoiding the NMPRC UGTAR process, which is the rate recovery allowed by state law, but that takes 9 to 12 months. We want to make sure that we minimize conflicts with existing landscape and other utilities along University Boulevard, because trenching and boring for underground installation is very invasive and requires a lot more careful coordination to make sure we are not damaging those kinds of things. We also want to reference the comprehensive plans chapter and their goals and policies for infrastructure, community facilities, and services. So again, as I mentioned, we want to minimize conflicts with other franchisees, utilities, and services by avoiding trenching and boring. Overhead installation, you're only really disturbing the area where the poles are set into the ground. So that really minimizes how much survey work has to be done, how much line spotting has to be done, and makes it very specific where potential conflicts may be, and makes it easier to address them ahead of time. We also want to point out that overhead installation allows for much easier co-location of internet, phone, and data lines. So they don't have to trench and bore underground. It makes it much easier to provide this other critical infrastructure on PNM facilities because they just have to be attached to the poles.
Mr. Brito, before you go on to the next page, I just want to make sure I understand this, the NMPRC UGTAR process. What is that? And so you're saying that if the line has to go underground, you'd have to go through this process, but if it's above ground, then you can avoid this process. Is that right?
That's correct, Mr. Hearing Officer. The state law and New Mexico Public Regulation Commission rules allow public utilities to recover the cost difference between overhead installation and underground installation. That cost difference is about 3 to 4 times as much. It costs as much as 3 to 4 times to go underground. And so, but in order to get that cost recovery, PNM would have to go through a process at the PRC commission level, as well as through the city council level. If approved by the PRC, we would go to the city council and say, okay, we are allowed to get cost recovery. There are two options. Either the city council can pony up the money from city coffers directly for that cost difference, or they can say, nope, spread that cost around to all ratepayers throughout the jurisdiction of the city for that cost recovery. That takes about 9 to 12 months. We can't even start construction until we have a determination at the end of that process. But if we don't have to install underground, we can avoid that process and begin construction of overhead installation in a very timely manner.
But isn't there a portion of this, I was just looking over the plans, isn't there some that would be underground anyway, regardless of the DHO decision?
Mr. Hearing Officer, right now, the preliminary design does not have anything proposed to be underground. But, you know, if there has to be some sections underground based on potential conflicts with existing landscape or other utilities, or trying to avoid the multi-use trail on the west side of university, that might be a possibility. But right now, the preliminary design, it looks like it's possible to do it the entire stretch overhead. We might have to jump across the street to avoid the mature pine trees next to J-Bill, and then back to the west side of university. But right now, we believe it's possible to do it all overhead.
Very good. Thank you for those clarifications.
You're welcome, sir. And we received some comments yesterday from city staff that are a bit more detailed from the commenting agencies. And we did see in those comments concerns about potential conflicts and needing to coordinate with them. But at this time, in PNM's regular business practice, we don't even know if we can go overhead yet. And so we want to address those concerns, but we also are hoping that you would consider granting the waiver with some very specific conditions of approval that address the concerns that have been expressed in the commenting agency's letters. And they include making sure that we fully comply with all terms of the franchise agreement in the ordinance adopted by council, signed by the mayor in 2020, including coordination with everybody in the right of way. We would get all necessary permits for excavations, lane closures, trail closures from all appropriate city departments. We would survey and line spot very specific mapping as necessary to avoid conflicts with any existing infrastructure lines and meet minimum separations as required by utility providers, franchisees. We will minimize ground disturbance, avoid damaging any existing landscape along the corridor. And if there is any damage, PNM shall restore any damaged landscape, sidewalk, street, or trail back to its pre-construction state. We will obtain spot easements if necessary, adjacent to the public right of way. If it gets too tight and we don't fit and we need to, quote unquote, encroach into private property, we would obtain those spot easements with those private properties if necessary. We will continue to coordinate with ABQ Sunport. And if any of the required FAA forms are changed because of different pole locations, if it has to be moved over or put on the other side of the street, we would get all of those clearances. And we would pledge to comply with all applicable development process manual technical standards as well to ensure that we could move forward with design and coordinate with everyone in the public right of way. And hopefully it works out to a point where everyone is satisfied and we're able to quickly install this distribution line overhead.
Yeah, thank you.
And with that, Ken and I would stand for any questions you have, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Brito, Mr. Maestas. So we did receive into the record multiple letters from the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, Southwest Regional Office, to Judith Souter, I believe is how it's pronounced, at PNM. And these were all titled A Determination of No Hazard to Air Navigation regarding the what appear to be the utility poles for the proposed above ground installation. Are these for all of the poles? Is that right? There's like one letter for each pole. So there's multiple letters here that look to be very, very similar. I haven't had a chance to fully compare them one to the other.
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Russell Brito. That is correct. The FAA requires a clearance letter for each and every structure. And that's why there are so many of them. It's a matter of geolocating the pole location, getting on that a map, and providing documentation that shows its ultimate height and its comparison to the elevation of the runway.
Okay, great, thank you. And then, you know, this is, in my view, sort of a difficult standard. The way the IDO is drafted, you know, it's always difficult to prove a negative. It says that no significant public purpose would be served. And I appreciate you sort of bringing all of the public purposes that would be served by allowing it to be above ground. And I do think that many of those are very important. But unfortunately, you know, that the test is that no significant public purpose would be served by requiring it. I'm trying to recall all of the public purposes that some of the DFT staff raised. You know, certainly the multi-use trail, and I know you've addressed that, and it seems like the conditions are well tailored to address any concerns there. What about aesthetics? Let's talk about aesthetics, because that seems to be a significant public purpose. How would this line pose any negative sort of aesthetic impact to users of the trail, drivers, any neighboring properties? Would they be adversely affected? You know, could you talk a little bit to that?
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer, Russell Brito from PNM. You know, I think the issue of aesthetics is going to be based on your point of view, your perspective, not to use a tired old saying, but beauty is in the eye of the beholder. And when you look at the vast majority of the metropolitan area, overhead lines are everywhere. Almost every major street, most residential streets, except for the most recent subdivisions, have overhead transmission lines, distribution lines, drop service, which is the line that goes from the distribution pole to your house or to your business. Those are all overhead for the most part. And most of the time, when you look at a landscape with a lot of power lines, because we're so used to them, they often just fade into the background. I can even see in your background picture on this Zoom screen, it's a shot of downtown. And if you just look at it, you see buildings. And then you have to kind of really focus in on the foreground to see those distribution lines. It's a case of, are you really looking at the landscape and the background, or are you looking at the foreground at potential obstructions of poles and conductor? A lot of times you'll take notice of a new cell tower for phone service, and you go, oh, it's a new cell tower. How did that get there? But after a couple months, it just kind of fades into the background, especially if it's camouflaged, or if the design has a color that makes it blend in with the surrounding context and landscape. And along this stretch of University, a lot of the traffic are people getting to a destination. There's no residential neighborhoods along this stretch of University. It's all non-residential zoning, non-residential uses, employment uses, service uses. And I think most of the people driving along this stretch of University are focused on their driving and their destination, and not necessarily paying attention to the surrounding landscape. At least I hope they're paying attention to the road when they're driving here. And so we don't see the issue of views or cluttering the landscape as a significant public purpose in this location. Whereas in other locations like Coors Boulevard, where there is an existing view preservation overlay adopted by the council, part of the IDO, that stretch of roadway, for example, along North Coors, has been identified as the views being very important. And that kind of importance has been codified into law. Whereas in this location, there is no specific view preservation ordinance. Our position is there are other significant public purposes that are served by our request.
And go ahead.
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Ken Maestas. And I may add, and it's been part of our testimony and actually part of our reason for wanting to connect two overhead circuits by this line. And so there's existing overhead distribution of electricity in the area. So I just wanted to throw that in also. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Brito, Mr. Maestas. And anything further that you'd like to add before I call on members of the public?
Mr. Hearing Officer Ken Maestas, no. I have nothing else to add at this point.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Brito, anything else you'd like to add, sir?
Mr. Hearing Officer Russell Brito, I am complete. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brito. All right. So again, this is Robert Lucero serving as DHO. We're on agenda item one for everyone here in attendance. If we've come to the time for members of the public to speak on this matter, if they so wish, is there anyone here who would like to provide public comment? Please raise your hand, either using the chat function and the reactions button at the bottom of your screen, or just physically raise your hand if you're by by video. If you're participating by phone, you can dial *9 to raise your hand. I'm scrolling through the participant list and I don't see anyone raising their hand. Again, we're on agenda item one and I'm calling for public comment. Please raise your hand to provide public comment on agenda item one. Last call for public comment on agenda item one. Okay, so hearing no public comment, we'll just proceed to the DFT members.
Mr. Hearing Officer?
Yes.
I just wanted to let, I saw Brian Boyd here from City Aviation, and he had expressed an interest in speaking. I wanted him to realize that public comment was the time that City Aviation could speak, either Ms. Sandoval or Mr. Boyd, if they chose to.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wolfley. This is Brian Boyd with the Aviation Department. Upon receiving the letters from the FAA.
Mr. Boyd, let's get you sworn in. We didn't swear you in previously, is that right? So if you would, sir, please raise your right hand and do you affirm under penalty of perjury that your testimony today will be true?
Yes.
Thank you, sir. Go ahead.
All right. The Aviation Department has received the FAA documentation provided by the PNM and has found it adequate to meet our requirements with the FAA to allow this project to proceed above ground. It does not pose an interference to any of our aviation navigation, and we see no reason why it could not, this waiver should not be granted.
Thank you, sir. Ms. Sandoval, did you have anything to add? Okay, don't see her wishing to speak. Thank you very much. Anyone else that we would need or that may wish to provide public comment? One last shot. All right, seeing no one indicating they'd like to speak, we'll go ahead and proceed to the DFT member comments, beginning with the Water Authority. Mr. Gutierrez, are you there, sir?
Yes, this is David with the Water Authority. I as mentioned before, there is north of Rio Bravo on the west side of University, there is a non-potable water line, and it's 24, I believe it goes to a 30 inch at some point, directly under the trail, kind of meanders through the back of curb a little bit. So I'm not sure exactly where it is at every point, but I've located some valves and some are directly in the middle of the trail. So I don't know in proximity how far that is from the edge of right of way. So at this point, I would personally need some details to make a recommendation to you to make a decision. I don't have enough detail. I would need like a trench prism, something to see how construction would move forward, how we would maintain our line in the event that we did have to excavate near the pole, any pole that was installed. We wouldn't want to undermine it and affect PNM if we did have to excavate. So I would just need some more detail on that just to make a recommendation at this point. That's kind of where I'm at. I just need further detail at this point.
Okay. Would the would underground be more, I don't know what the word is. Obviously, it's more invasive because you're digging more, but would it pose more difficulties to the Water Authority than overhead?
I mean, this is David with the Water Authority. I any design that I'm approving, I need detail, right? So at this point, it's just premature. Underground could be invasive as well, you know. But to say that they can be at a point without further detail, I can't make a good recommendation without further detail. If you did grant it, you know, they would have to meet conditions, you know. I want 7 feet away from the water line, and I don't know if they have that because I don't have a good survey of the line exactly where it's at, nor do I have how far it is from the right-of-way line. So I don't know how much room they have from the extent of the right-of-way to the water line. My only concern is operation and maintenance of the Water Authority's infrastructure, and that's what I need to make sure that we can do. So, of course, as design moves forward, an underground line could pose, you know, issues as well. And as you go further past Rio Bravo, going south, we do eventually have infrastructure on both sides. So either way, there could be conflicts, right? So I would like to see something of more detail just so I can make a good recommendation to you for this decision.
Thank you, Mr. Gutierrez.
Thank you.
Let's see, code enforcement. Who's gonna speak? Is it Mr. Boylan?
Yes, this is Jacob Boylan speaking on behalf of code enforcement. Code enforcement currently has no comments or objections to this.
Thank you, Mr. Boylan. Parks and Recreation. Is it Ms. Phelan? I'll give her a chance to respond. We'll go to hydrology, Mr. Chen.
Tikwan Chen, hydrology. Hydrology has no objection. Thank you.
Thank you. In transportation, Mr. Armijo.
Ernest Armijo, transportation. The comments I have are basically the same that I had last time. And again, it's seeking more information, kind of like Mr. Gutierrez. For me, for transportation, let me just start off by saying that I don't have a problem with them going underground. I am more, overhead as opposed to underground. I'm more concerned about the location of the line. They've talked about avoiding landscaping, avoiding, you know, all these other things, but my main thing is the trail, the cross sections that were provided. I don't know where they are in the world, because if you actually delve into it, they are not on any part north of Rio Bravo, because there is no trail or sidewalk on the east side of the road. In that area, I believe that the sections are much further south. My main concern is the portion between the northern entrance to the golf course to Carcar, because that's where the right of way gets very, very narrow, and there's no way to avoid the trail. So it's around 1,000 feet. They wouldn't be able to avoid the trail without going onto private property for about 1,000 feet or switching to the east side. Again, so long as they avoid the trail, I'm good, but I need a little bit more detail. I need to know where that line's going to be.
Thank you, Mr. Armijo. Let's see, Ms. Phelan, are you there? Whitney Phelan from Park. We'll go ahead and table her comments for now. What about from the planning department, Ms. Wolfley?
Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Jolene Wolfley. Before I give my comments, I'd like to invite the city engineer to give some comments. One of the things that PNM brought up this morning in their presentation was the issue of spot easements. I'm not familiar with that at all, and I think it would be important for you to get information from the city engineer with regard to that. I think he should also speak to the cross sections that were shown of University, and if he could also just speak generally to, since the city engineer's been around a long time, he can speak to past practices with regard to undergrounding electric lines in a corridor like this. So if you would invite Mr. Biazar to speak now.
Thank you, Ms. Wolfley. Mr. Biazar, are you there?
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Shahab Biazar. So we received a cross section of existing utilities within the area. Like I said, it's kind of hard to say how the existing utility would be impacted depending where they place the poles, because they go fairly deep with their, I believe, with their footings. And so it's hard to say how it's going to get impacted. It's pretty tight because we have like sewer, water, and then you know also dealing with the you know the trail, and then there's also we have to follow the roadside design guidelines, and you know have the poles placed certain distance from the you know the curbing for safety reasons. So there's a lot of different factors to take into account when trying to place the poles. It's like I said, it's pretty tight. And, you know, the ordinance in the past, before it got amended, you know, the whole purpose was, you know, to have everything underground. But again, that provision is, it's there to allow variances and, you know, have them overground. So, so like I said, it's going to be a challenge. We have to look at like Water Authority mentioned and our transportation groups mentioned. We do have to look at the pole placements and how it's going to impact existing utilities. Mm-hmm. And there's also, you know, I know Water Authority requires certain distances from their existing utilities, and having everything in there, it's going to make it pretty tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't mean that, you know, going underground is going to be easy either, but it's going to be like a narrower strip than the poles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mr. Biazar, what you mentioned that, you know, the obviously this was a revision done through the IDO that made this underground requirement. What's the advantage of being underground? Is it just that it is a more narrow strip, or what other sort of advantages?
Well, I think one of the biggest reason is aesthetics, and having power lines, you know, above ground, it's, and then having it underground is both, you know, aesthetic wise is better, and safety wise, you know, there's nothing to hit by the public, you know, the poles can't get hit, or, and I think it's a lot of the areas like the different states and even countries, everything is going underground with the new infrastructure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Sure.
I'm sorry to interrupt again, but Mr. Hearing Officer, could Mr. Biazar specifically address the spot easement issue? Because that's something I don't think we've given you any advice with regard to that. If that's a possibility, how that works, you know, do you have to go buy that from the private property owner, et cetera?
This is Mr. Hearing Officer. This is Shahab Biazar. Yeah, spot easements. I'm not sure exactly what it was meant by that, but if they go outside the right of way, they will have to obtain the required easements to basically place their poles within private properties if they have to. If they have to go outside our right of way, yeah, obviously, yeah, that will be like spot easements where they will have to obtain from property owners.
See. Thank you. Ms. Wolfley, would you like to present on behalf of planning?
Sure. Yes. Thank you. I just want to get some of those matters addressed that hadn't been previously. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen. The focus of the IDO that's specific to the question at hand and not, you know, speculation about how other portions of the IDO or the comp plan weigh in, but the portions of the IDO that are applicable to this discussion are 54I2, which says that distribution lines over 12 kilovolts, but less than 40 shall be installed underground. So that's the standard, as Mr. Biazar was saying, that this is what's required and is what is expected with all new construction. There is the allowance for a waiver, and this is what you are determining as the DHO. And item one is the construction is not what significant purpose is provided by the poles in the first place. Of course, we know that this region does need electric power and it will get electric power. But the question about undergrounding or overhead is that no significant public purpose would be served by requiring the new construction to be placed underground. So that's the overriding question for you to determine. And if that is true, then any of these other factors in 2A or B need to accompany that first provision, any of these. But the first provision must be met, and then it must accompany one of these other provisions. So the question about significant public purpose to placing the poles underground or placing the lines underground, a key one is aesthetics and what the poles look like. In a new area like this, it will be a different from how it looks now. And this is a developing business corridor. It includes the Sunport Market. The UNM has a substantial land holding here. And then it is the road leading into Mesa del Sol. We wanted to use our staff's abilities. Ms. Alec created this version for you. She does have a background in architecture and Photoshop. And so as far as she could to scale in the time allowed, she provided this Photoshop version of what the poles would look like in this corridor as they would be added in, so that, you know, the image can be presented. And while different people would have different reactions to this, we know that the general city policy regulation in the IDO is for undergrounding, and a lot of that would be for aesthetic reasons. And I think also things that I read in trying to do research for you on additional significant impacts is they just talked about there are certain environmental things with wind and ice and other things that can make an advantage for undergrounding as well. But it is one big factor that we're trying to point out is the aesthetics of the corridor and how that affects the economic development potential of the parcels along the corridor. You've already heard from the Water Authority. We're just pointing that out again. Is there, since we don't know what the conflicts are, we don't know what the implications are, at this point in time, it doesn't feel like the applicant has met the burden of showing that they're that the conflicts with the water lines, that there is a significant purpose in avoiding those water lines. We have shown you here, Mr. Gutierrez and I, we kind of went through what we could see with some of the as-built documents, and it seemed that the non-potable water line, he can correct me if I go in the wrong direction here, but that's what these graphics were in your report. is it seemed like the non-potable water line was the one that was going to be in interference on this west side of University within the right of way. But we did, in doing that research, find that it does jump to the east side of University. So that's something important for you to know and consider. And then it goes back roughly in this area to the west side of University again. But in general, when we've been looking at this, it did seem that by and large, the east side of University undergrounding, you know, there might be some need to move things here or wherever when more information is known to the west side. But it generally felt like the east side of University had more right-of-way room for undergrounding of the poles. And I think that the overhead lines couldn't be on the east side as what I think the applicant reported from the FAA, that their approval related to the overhead lines being on the west side of University. Mm-hmm. We've talked about the multi-use trail, and Ms. Phelan hasn't commented today, but Mr. Armijo did, and Ms. Phelan's comments were that they need a minimum, they need a 2-foot clearance on each side of the trail for safety and maintenance. And unfortunately, some of that area could be where the power line would want to be. Unfortunately, in this process, we do not have notice given to UNM or JBL. And so we haven't heard their comments about how they feel about this, but there isn't a requirement to notice them. We did not hear back from Kirtland Air Force Base in this process. And we have heard from Aviation, who has said that they're fine with the overhead lines for airport operations and for, they have some land in this area that is open for economic development as well. With regard to 2A and 2B, staff's analysis is that that the immediate or adjacent area is served by overhead lines. We feel that this is partially met. There are overhead lines, mostly transmission lines or the overhead lines that they're connecting to that are in the adjacent area, but there are no overhead lines in the immediate area. And then item B is something that I hadn't really looked at all the words in this last time when we reported to you. And I just wanted to point out that there does seem to be a linkage between the applicant showing that there are subsurface conditions that make it prohibitive to underground the line or making it economically unreasonable. We've heard a little bit about J-Bill having plant material and roots and things in that corridor, but they are now going to the west side, but all north of J-Bill and south of J-Bill, the applicant hasn't given information to be evaluated on. Is there a linkage between the subsurface conditions that make the underground lines economically unreasonable? And that seems to be part of the test that the IDO is requiring.
Okay.
And that concludes our comments.
Thank you. Ms. Wolfley, was there any reaction to the PNM proposed conditions? Mr. Brito sort of showed on his screen.
Yeah, let's bring those back up on the screen. I think the one item I saw missing was what happens if there is a conflict with the water line. There's no commitment there that they would, you know, move the water line or do something different. I think part of our concern is just if there's not room, how do you create room that doesn't exist? And the only thing I've heard so far is creating room by doing a spot easement. And I don't have enough experience. I'm not sure how, you know, what evidence there is that has actually been successful before or the likelihood a property owner would do that. But I think where it says in item 5, PNM shall restore any damaged landscape, sidewalk, street, or trail. Notably absent in that would be water authority lines, water lines. And if they need a 7-foot clearance, at this point in time, we don't have enough information to know if that would be true. And these conditions don't provide protection to the water authority.
Thank you. Anything further, Ms. Wolfley?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you for your presentation. Given that there was no public comment, we'll now go ahead and call on the applicants if you'd like to respond. I see Mr. Brito has your hand raised. Are you there, sir?
Yes, Mr. Hearing Officer, this is Russell Brito. Regarding the staff comments about PNM's recommended conditions of approval, the absence of the water line reference in item 5 is not an oversight. It's pretty much covered by condition number 1. PNM is already required to do all this per the franchise agreement, but you know, if you feel that approval is appropriate, we are wholeheartedly in support of adding waterline or ABC WA facilities as part of number 5 to make sure that it's covered. If it's not clear that the franchise agreement already requires that, again, I would stress that PNM already has the right and the authority to locate in the city's public right-of-way per the franchise agreement. What we are asking for today is some allowance for more flexibility in this location to continue to work with, coordinate, and respect all existing uses in the public right-of-way so that we can continue our partnership with all the jurisdictions for economic development efforts, for protecting other critical infrastructure, and to make sure that we have a design that works well in the space allotted. And the concerns about the tight right-of-way width is definitely heard. And again, the final design may have an overhead line jumping to the east side if necessary, where there might be less conflict. But of course, undergrounding, there's going to be conflict both sides the entire way, and could create much more complicated designs and impacts than overhead installation would. I do want to point out, I appreciate the Photoshop image, but I do want to point out that those appear to be transmission line poles that were shown in that Photoshop image. And PNM does not develop black poles that stand out severely like they do in that image. Any kind of pole that PNM puts out for a distribution line is probably just going to have a single cross arm along the top. It's going to be a wooden pole, but in some cases it might be a steel pole, and a steel pole is either going to be a gray color or perhaps a pigmented Corten steel, which is like the rusty color that blends in.
Thank you.
And I would defer to Ken Maestas if he has anything else to add, please.
Thank you, Mr. Brito. Mr. Maestas, are you there?
Yes, thank you, Hearing Officer. This is Ken Maestas, PNM. Nothing further to add, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wolfley.
Mr. Hearing Officer, I just wanted to note one thing. PNM has not provided information about conflicts on the east side of University. There's been no evidence presented. I think Mr. Brito, in talking about there could be even more conflicts on the east side, that's speculation, but no evidence has been provided. And that's part of what Water Authority and our staff has been wanting is more information about where the utilities are. And that's something that PNM has not chosen to do at this stage of their effort. So I just wanted to point that out to you.
Thank you, Ms. Wilkley. Well, I'd like to thank everybody who's participated not only today, but in our prior hearing on this matter. It's I feel like that I'm faced with a difficult decision because the interests presented on many sides of these issues are very compelling. I don't feel that anyone is taking an unreasonable stance, and so that makes it very difficult when there are reasonable things about all these good arguments. But I feel like I'm ready to make a decision now. I don't think that we should defer this matter any further. I'm sensitive to the fact that time is important, and you know, PNM has said that you know they have processes to follow. And, you know, with that costs money and time, and we want to be sensitive to that, and especially with regard to some of these economic development policies that have been cited. And so for me, it boils down to IDO section 66P3B in the very first paragraph, the standard stating that no significant public purpose would be served by requiring the new construction to be placed underground as the threshold question. And I believe that's a very high burden to meet. I don't believe that it's been met here. The public policies of, or you know, the public purpose of aesthetics has been cited. Safety, as transportation stated, you know, a risk of traffic impacting a pole would be eliminated by it being underground. And so I just find that that threshold test has not been met because there are significant public purposes that would be served by requiring the new construction to be placed underground as the IDO requires as a default. And so that is going to be my ruling. I'm going to deny the application with the utmost respect to PNM and its agents, who I believe did an excellent job presenting their case. But that is going to be my ruling. Anything further in terms of formalities that I need to state, Ms. Wolfley? I'm sorry, it looks like you're muted.
I think you've addressed the main criteria, but if you could just explain how it relates to the other criteria, and just so that we can capture that in the notice of decision very clearly.
Thank you.
Yeah. And yeah, when and you say kind of the establish other... them as findings, correct?
Thank you. When you say other criteria, do you mean 66P3B2?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then,
you know, oh, go ahead.
Yeah, and then as clear as you can be in terms of the findings related to no significant public purpose. That would help us in writing the notice of decision.
Very good. So I do not reach and make no findings regarding 66P3B2 because the threshold question regarding no significant public purpose has not been satisfied. And so I make no finding or conclusion regarding 66P3B2, nor is any necessary. But as to the threshold question in the body paragraph of 66P3B, which states that no significant public purpose would be served by requiring the new construction to be placed underground, the DHO finds that the significant public purpose of aesthetics would be served by requiring the new construction to be placed underground. And the significant public purpose of safety, transportation, traffic safety would be met by requiring the new construction to be placed underground. Thank you. Anything further on this item? Very good. I would then close this case and hand the case over to the other development hearing officer. Again, thank you everybody for your presentations. Appreciate all of your hard work.
Thank you.